So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Here he goes on, Psalms 24, which is a reflection of the book of Enoch. For he has founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Okay, we see that made mention there in the book of Genesis, and we see the details brought out by God's scribe, prophet Enoch. Okay, as he was pinning these things down, as he was observing these things, and as the Lord God began to unfold to Enoch, he unfolded to Enoch things which the angels didn't know yet. Okay, and this was teaching regarding the stewardship, and also it was a prototype of things to come. How the angels of God would do service to the Adamites, okay, and the Adamites would function as kings and priests. Well, here he goes on, for he has founded upon the seas, and it was established upon the floods. That has to do with the floods of this dimension. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, which of course is Mount Sion, S-I-O-N, or who shall stand in his holy place? Okay, that is to present themselves before his presence. Again, a reflection of the book of Enoch. Enoch's presence in the courts of the Lord was there by the invitation of the Spirit. In other words, God put him in a form of preparation, okay, for the consecration of his being presence before the Lord, so that the anointing upon him qualified him, as the anointing also qualifies us. So who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Now when the rapture happens, we will ascend to the hill of the Lord. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, which has to do with the proper contact points, the sanctified contact points. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, that which is of faith. That which is of faith, the heart of faith, was in representation of his qualification of clean hands. And then he says, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Again, we see the difference between faith and aspirations. Vanity is the aspiration. Nor lifted up a soul into vanity, which has to do with the honoring of the gods of this world. Okay, nor, he says here, sworn deceitfully. And the word sworn deceitfully has to do with making a vow that would stand in his own aspiration. Nor has sworn deceitfully. So the righteous make that vow of faith. Okay, but the wicked, they swear deceitfully, the vow of deceit. Okay, mean that only which stands within the justification, okay, of their own imagination. But here he goes on here, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. See the word blessing there. Okay, well now we're reading out of Psalms 24. Okay, as we're warming up, out of Psalms 24, verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. That's the blessedness, which has to do with gifts. Okay, the person that which is of faith receives these gifts. Okay, and part of these portion and part of this gift here has to do with righteousness. Okay, and righteousness in the God of his salvation. Okay, we have met the standard. Okay, we have stood in the scale of his holiness and we've been accepted of him because of faith in him, faith in his name. So he goes on in verse 6. This is a generation them that seek him. See the word seek there? Okay, you can highlight the word seek. Is the word seeking there has to do with the application. Okay, the application. As the word seek, the misnomer of the word seek, put within the premises of something that's been yet concealed. Okay, but the word seek right here, okay, has to do with the application of it, which means if it's concealed, how can you apply it? Okay, if it's concealed, you can't make application with it. But it's revealed, okay, then we do service with it. So this is a generation that seek him. That means make application. To seek your face, O Jacob, Selah. Okay, which has to do with the knowledge of God in the form of man. That seek your face, O Jacob. Now, if the Pharisees would have reflected upon the revelation, the inspiration of this writing, okay, they would have seen the face of Jacob. Okay, they would have seen Christ. Now he goes on, verse 7, lift up your heads, O your gates. And in fact, we'll be talking about gates today. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be you lifted up your everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Okay, the gates of the conscience. When the gates of the conscience are purified, the King of Glory shall come in. And the King of Glory has entered into your soul to restore it and to fill it with all the substance, okay, that honors him, that pleases him. So therefore, lift up your heads. Okay, in other words, you're not yoked with ignorance no longer. Okay, being not yoked with ignorance, you can lift up your heads. Okay, now we have knowledge. Okay, O you gates. Okay, so therefore the gate of the soul being the conscience, be also the seat of God's throne. Okay, now rules your perception. Okay, that's what the Bible brings out. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. Okay, so when Lord sits in the gate of your conscience, okay, His peace rules. His peace rules. And because He's filling the caverns of the soul with substance, being substance of your hope, the tokens of His propitiation. And then He goes on in verse 8 here. Who is this King of Glory? Okay, what will be the proper answer? He says, well, the Lord strong and mighty. Strong and mighty, which means He sustains with these gifts. The Lord mighty in battle. Okay, where's the conflict? The conflict is in the choice of will. The Lord mighty in battle. These tokens are your strength. This is your armor. Okay, the tokens of your priesthood are also tokens of your armor. Okay, by which we stand fast. This is where the foot of our confidence remains. Okay, in the presence of the Lord, in the courts of the Lord. So then he goes on again and repeats himself, lift up your heads, O your gates, because he has removed the yoke of ignorance and giving us the tokens of innocence. Oh, and so lift up your heads, O your gates, which also has to do with knowledge. Okay, knowledge, the head has to do with also knowledge. So by this knowledge, ignorance is removed because truth now has been restored. So when he says, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Okay, the everlasting doors has to do with also the conscience of our Father. Okay, the conscience of the Father is open to all those which are pure in heart. As Jesus brings out, blessed are pure in heart, for they shall see God. They will seek your face, O Jacob. Who is the King of Glory? He says in verse 10, the Lord of hosts. Okay, he is the King of Glory, Selah. Okay, Jesus Christ is the glory of our Father. Okay, coming in the form of the flesh. Okay, humbling himself in the form of flesh, okay, in order to bring us to the station, okay, of his throne. So those who are just coming in, we just read a few verses there. In fact, we just read the whole chapter there of Psalms 24. Okay, touching on a few items there concerning the gates of the Lord. Okay, now we're going to go to Book of Ephesians here and read some more things here. Okay, Ephesians 5. Okay, wait for there to get there. Ephesians 5. Pick up where we left off. Okay, it's concerning be you followers of God as dear children. Last week, okay, we expounded on these things. Be you therefore followers of God, which has to do with taking on the yoke of this anointing, okay, as those which are born of Him, okay, as dear children, okay, being born by promise. Okay, we are children born by promise, okay, as Isaac was a child born of promise. Ishmael was born according to the flesh, but Isaac was born according to promise. So we're followers of the anointing as those which are children of promise. Okay, the promises of Abraham are provided to us, which has to do from lowness to greatness, from a grain of sand to the size of a star, okay, as the day star. The day star is shining in our hearts by the illumination of this knowledge. Okay, to bring us from lowness to greatness and from suffering to glory. Okay, as we see, Jesus provided a pattern in himself, being taken of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This was prearranged to put a record within himself for our faith and for our discernment now, okay, that we can distinguish between good and evil, between the holy and profane, based upon the scale of this covenant, Jesus Christ, our holiness. So we're walking in love. Okay, we're walking in love. And we'll bring some more of those things out. I put a little definition of that, okay, on Facebook for the sacrifice page concerning love, which has to do with a point of belonging. Okay, a point of belonging, and this belonging is also a binding trust. Okay, a binding trust. Love, belonging, binding trust, which frees us from the fear of betrayal, okay, which the law does not provide. Because the law has to do with self-love. A self-love which reverts to fear of loss. Okay, because the law, okay, is established between that of the flesh. Okay, but we know that charity is established upon that which is the Spirit. Okay, and this is how we love God. These are those which a Father seeks and those which please Him, which worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit has to do with the anointing, of this expression, okay, from this foundation of truth. Okay, and from this foundation of truth, okay, we see the threefold cord, okay, which the things that he says, what he does, and his product. That's the threefold cord. Okay, the threefold cord, what he says, what he does, and the product of it. Okay. So by this threefold cord, okay, we're able to measure any discrepancies or counterfeits. If a discrepancy exists, okay, therefore they're not followers of God as dear children. Okay, because the anointing points this out for us. Okay, as Chief Elder John brings out in his epistle. Okay, by that love casts out fear. Why? Because fear has torment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. Okay, perfect love casts out fear. Now you know why it, and how it casts out fear, because we have the token and seal of his belonging. Okay, a binding trust. Okay, and therefore we're fulfilling that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With the tokens which he's provided, okay, it brings that seal of confidence. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. When we ask anything according to this power, he hears us. Okay, according to this power, according to this charity, according to your priesthood. We're in this priesthood. Charity is a distributing factor of all these other virtues which are born within you, okay, which Paul brings out there in the book of Galatians. Okay, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay, against such there is no law, which means, okay, that which is the flesh cannot disannul it. Okay, that which is the flesh cannot disannul it. It has no power, okay, against charity. Okay, charity is the chief thing. Okay, because by these things, we have the seal of his belonging. In other words, he cares for us by the seal of belonging. So the righteous identify with God by the anointing to belong, to the trusting of belonging, confidence of building, okay, and bonding charity. This is his holy possession. We are holiness to the Lord. Okay, we belong to him. Okay, and these are things which we will be focusing on today concerning an offering and sacrifice to God. Okay, which, of course, the Apostle Paul brings out, beginning with stewardship. Okay, beginning with stewardship. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and sacrifice. Okay, beginning with his stewardship, okay, charity is a distributing power. It distributes to all these other virtues, okay, within us so that our heart becomes enlarged. It begins to grow and overflow. Okay, it enlarges as a tree into a forest. Okay, we talked about that last week, as a tree into a forest. So therefore, in verse 7, be not you therefore partakers with them. Who is the them? Okay, we talked about the whoremonger last week. Okay, the whoremonger has to do with that is to plunder the soul. Okay, the whoremonger, which is also unclean and covetous man, and Paul identifies as an idolater. Okay, a whoremonger can be a believer and also an adulterer. We see in the Old Testament, okay, people that were idol worshippers. They were idol worshippers, but they did believe in a supreme being. They believed in a creator. They believed in a supreme being, but they provided their own tokens, okay, as an access to him, which is called idolatry. It's a philosophical barrier to faith. Idols are a philosophical barrier to grace. So a whoremonger is a preacher of lasciviousness. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're not sowing seed in their own property. They're a whoremonger. Okay, they're not sowing seed in their own property. Okay, but rather they're encroaching in the in the substance of another. Okay, allowing their cattle to gender in another field. Okay, which the law forbids. Okay, the law forbids that. Okay, but we're going to go on here. Okay, and we're going to see here, be not you therefore partakers with the whoremongers, with them, the whoremongers. Okay, so they're trying to build a relationship with God, okay, with defiled hands. Okay, we read about that in the Psalms 24. He that has clean hands and a pure heart. So the hands are defiled. How are their hands defiled? By touching the unclean. They're using unclean tokens. Well, what are those unclean tokens? Okay, that which is marked by time and springs from the soil. Marked by time and springs from the soil, okay, is all those things which are transient. They're here and they're gone. They're here and they're gone, like a passing train or a passing vehicle, okay, or a bus. Okay, a bus stops and then moves on. It's transient. Okay, the tokens of the flesh are here and gone. Anything that's marked by time, like the Sabbath day, it's here and it's gone. Okay, it's marked by darkness and ends in dark. Okay, concerning that, it begins at sundown, okay, going to that which is the next day. Okay, so be not therefore partakers with them, which means the false tokens, which defile the heart, unclean hands. It defiles the heart. It blocks the conscience, or it darkens the conscience. So the darkened conscience by philosophy of this world becomes a barrier to grace. Okay, it becomes a barrier to grace. Okay, and when we go to the Gospel of John, okay, we'll see that no man comes to the Father except he draw him. Okay, we talked about that last week. Okay, that means grace must accompany the knowledge. Okay, and when the heart is open, grace must accompany the knowledge for the purpose of repentance being sealed. Okay, being sealed, which means coming into covenant. And you're coming into covenant now, okay, and our services to God must be by his tokens alone, which is not, okay, a sin unto death. Now, a sin unto death, okay, are defiled tokens. Okay, a sin that's not unto death has to do with that which is restoration. A restoration. We're being cleansed of all unrighteousness by the tokens of his holiness. And this is why when he inscribes, okay, within us, by the finger of his anointing, he's inscribing into our hearts this knowledge and new commandments and law. Okay, that we obey him by this reflection. Okay, not that which is of the biblical history, but that which is of, okay, the memorials of heaven. Okay, the memorials of heaven. Jesus Christ is a memorial in heaven. He stands for us for an eternal memorial. Okay, and assigns to us a pillar of memorial, to which the Father, gazing upon that pillar of memorials, okay, accepts our presence. He accepts our presence. Our Father, okay, will view or see our presence, okay, within his conscience by the tokens he's provided. Okay, and this is what we do. This is what we're learning, so that our confidence remains within him. This is what he's empowering for our faith. Okay, so be not you therefore partakers with the whoremongers, the unclean hands, okay, those which, okay, are coveting after the things of this world. Okay, they're looking for value. They're trying to put substance in their heart by the law of Moses. Okay, and they claim that. Okay, they're trying to put substance in their heart by the law of Moses, and yet at the same time claim Jesus their Savior. Well, Jesus cannot be your Savior, okay, if you're utilizing, unclean substance. Okay, using unclean substance as a reproach to God and blasphemy. Okay, which the beast, which we read in Revelation chapter 13, okay, and also in Revelation chapter 14, he's going to blaspheme God. He's going to blaspheme his tabernacle. He's going to blaspheme those which are in heaven. That's us. He's going to blaspheme those which are in heaven by setting another standard in this dimension, saying that God or himself now removed, okay, those which are unqualified, okay, to bear his presence. Okay, that's the righteous. The beast, not God. The beast, proclaiming himself to be God, is going to explain why, okay, there was a sudden removal and a disappearance of people that happened 3.5 years ago. He's going to give an excuse to that when he puts the sign of his face in the sun. Okay, he's going to project his face in the sun. And he's going to say, see, I am the Son of God. I removed, the undesirables. Okay, and of course, when he says, I removed the undesirables, he's pointing to us. Okay, us, because we were taken in the first rapture. The second rapture just took place. And now he's going to make an excuse why these, the sinners, are still here. So he's going to call the sinners the righteous, and he's going to call the righteous the sinners. So he's going to blaspheme those which are in heaven, which has to do with us, and 144,000 were just raptured. Okay, so you can see how the beast is going to counterfeit himself, okay, as a cleansing token. Okay, he is not the cleansing token. Jesus Christ is a cleansing token, but he is the false Jesus Christ. He's the false token. So he's going to use the tokens of his presence, which is the 666, okay, and the number of his name, okay, and his image. Okay, remember, he has to provide a token, okay, and also he has to provide a seal. So he's going to provide a token in himself as an image, okay, which is going to be erected throughout the whole world. Now you can see why the world itself, under the World Health Organization, how God is using the World Health Organization as the premises for establishing stations throughout the whole world for the purpose of vaccination. Okay, well, this system which they have adopted, okay, in order to achieve their goals of vaccinating the whole world against COVID-19, is the same premises and practice that they're going to initiate to establish, okay, a seal for the acceptance of the beast, okay, and a card, like a credit card, okay, that allows them access to the wealth of the world, okay, for the purpose of establishing, okay, you're purchasing your groceries, okay, purchasing a home, okay, any level of purchases, okay, based upon the tokens, okay, the seal and the token, okay, to which you're associating with. So you can see how the beast is going to take advantage of these things. Okay, that is a whoremonger. Okay, the beast is going to use these things to plunder faith. Okay, so be not you therefore partakers with him. There is no unity and bonding between light and darkness. Okay, nor between fire and water. Okay, in this dimension. Okay, but our Father made distinctions there. Okay, right from the very beginning, which would be put and written, okay, within the gospel for the purpose of our discernment today. Light and darkness, water and fire. Okay, be not you therefore partakers with them, because there's no true fellowship to bond with them. Okay, there's no true fellowship to bond with them. They have nothing to offer. Okay, their charity is defiled, because the charity is set within the premises, okay, of their own passion, okay, and not that which is the tokens of faith, not with a knowledge which is from above. So you were therefore, he goes on here, verse 8 now. Okay, let's go to verse 8. So make sure you highlight the word partakers with them, and draw a line from partakers with them, okay, to the word vain words in verse 6, and to the word whoremongers in verse 5. Okay, the false gospel, vain words. Okay, words of no substance. The spirit will not attend this knowledge. Okay, that's what the whoremonger preaches. Okay, and this is what Chief Elder Jude brings out. Okay, and regarding speaking great swelling words. Okay, swelling words has to do with an inflated gospel based on fables. An inflated gospel based on fables. If you want to see an inflated gospel based on fables, turn into the local religious magazines. Okay, look at the, in fact, you can go to a store and buy one. Buy a religious magazine, and you'll be a witness to these vain words. An inflated gospel. Okay, utilizing fables, that is their witness. Fables is their witness, not God. Fables is their witness. They took that which God gave and utilized it to their own aspiration. That's what Cain did. Okay, and look what happened to him. Okay, look what happened to Cain. God put a sign of denial upon him, a mark. God put a mark and a sign of denial upon him because he was a murderer of his brother. He stole. He plundered. Okay, he spoiled. The mark of Cain is upon the whoremongers. Okay, so be not you therefore partakers with him. Okay, God has called us out of darkness into his light. You were therefore sometimes darkness, he says here. You were standing with Satan. Okay, at this point of time, he says, see, they use their logic as a key to open the wrong door, and Satan is standing there. That was God's counsel to Cain. Okay, unto him, he's standing at your door. Unto him, you're going to open. You're going to open your conscience to his counsel, which is dark counsel. And Cain did that. Okay, that's the false anointing. Satan is the false anointing, which is also called by the Apostle Paul a seducing spirit. Okay, so a seducing spirit seduces by, you see, those things which are agreeable to the aspiration. What Cain was already musing, Satan gave witness to. And Cain opened the door of his conscience to the counsel of Satan, the prince of darkness. Satanel, shame. Okay, the word shame identifies anything that's less than light. Okay, seducing spirit is not light at all. It's darkness. It's less than light. It's the counsel of the wicked. It's the counsel of the principalities and powers of the air. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience, as Paul brings out. For you were sometimes darkness. See, this was your counsel. This was your perspective in the past. Okay, this was your anointing of the past. But that is not so now at this present time. This is what Paul's saying to Ephesians. But this is not so at the present time, because at this present time, you have received the grace, the praise of the glory of his grace. This is what you have received, the praise of the glory of his grace. Okay, the seal of this inheritance, which our Father has promised to all souls, okay, before the world came into existence, but now is reserved for the remnant, for those few that love him. So you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Because grace has removed you out of Satan's shadow, as one is awakened from the dead. Okay, as Lazarus came forth by the voice of the Lord, so grace calls to grace, deep unto deep. That was the conscience and soul of our Father. Okay, now has drawn us into that which is equal to himself, deep unto deep. Okay, he's calling to our conscience. Hey, our Father is drawing us to him, okay, by the cords of his love, the cords of his love, okay, which has to do with that anointing. Okay, the anointing of the anointed one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a prototype and pattern of our faith, which is established before the foundation of the world. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was manifested in the time of God's choosing for the purpose of establishing a pattern for the last days. Okay, for those which call upon him, okay, out of a pure heart, which we do every day. Okay, when you function in your priesthood, you're calling upon him out of a pure heart, okay, being sanctified by his grace. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So hide the word walk there. And you can draw a line from the word walk in verse 8 to the word walk in verse 2. Walk in love. So we come right back down to that. The power that distributes the virtues. The distributing virtues is that power which feeds all these other powers in you. Love feeds your joy. Love feeds your faith. Okay, it begins with this source. Okay, it begins with a source. We see the book of Proverbs bring this out. Okay, concerning the trough. Okay, when the trough is full, also the house multiplies. But when the trough is empty, the house falls into disrepair. Okay, the full trough feeds the ox. But if the oxen aren't fed, then neither is the table spread over with food. Okay, because one you need the one for the other. Okay, and this is what it means by partakers. Okay, we are partakers of Christ because we're laboring with him, okay, and he's providing us a full table. Okay, but those which do not labor with the anointing, they're partaking with the wrong tokens. Tithing, water baptism, physical communion, physical circumcision, observing the Sabbath day, okay, the name a few. Okay, those which work with the flesh are called carnal-minded because the flesh is that which is natural. Natural. That which springs of the soil is marked by time. Transient. It shall pass away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Okay, that which the Lord has spoken, the voice of the Lord, that which he has spoken, remains forever as a token, okay, as substance, and as a divine witness. Okay, it remains forever. So we're walking as children of light. We see there in verse 8. Walk as children of light. We're mobilized by his charity. Okay, his charity that purges the soul. Okay, now just jump over for a moment to the Gospel of John. So make sure you put your marker here. Okay, and we're going to jump over to the Gospel of John here for a moment. Okay, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 63. Okay, it is a spirit that quickens, he says. If you make a note on this, it's a spirit that quickens. Hide the word spirit there. If you're there, you can hide the word spirit. It's a spirit that quickens. Which that when he's talking about spirit, he's talking about the anointing. It's the anointing, okay, that draws upon the soul. Okay, the anointing provides us the insight of recall. Anointing quickens. It draws upon the conscience, but not for the open sign. Okay, it's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. See the word flesh? So hide the word flesh there, which has to do with the law. The law works with the open sign. Okay, the spirit works with the concealed sign. So it's the spirit that quickens. It's the spirit that's the true witness. And that true witness is our life. Okay, but the flesh, which is the law, will not bring substance to the soul. But it will satisfy the imagination. This is why the false religious system is pursuing the open signs. They're pursuing the open signs as a witness, but it will not profit the soul. It will not profit the soul. As many miracles, as so-called miracles, have transpired throughout the last generation, see, the population of the world has not profited from that. The whole world lies in wickedness. The population of the world is more ignorant today of God than they were 40 years ago. But the false religious system emphasized evangelism, and upon evangelism, they emphasized miracles and healing. Okay, they emphasized those, okay, for the purpose of displaying that God is real. That's the testimony which you're establishing is God is real, okay? Okay, we know God is real, but how do we serve the real God? That they denied, okay, because they weren't in covenant. So they pursued that which is of the flesh. And to this day, the church is falling into a deeper decay than it was 40 years ago. Okay, 40 years ago, the Lord was already addressing the condition of the church, which is bad. But today, now, it's twofold. Iniquity is twofold. And when iniquity is twofold, God issues forth a judgment for this correction, which is very severe, which is called the wrath of God. When the children of Israel returned to the land of Canaan, the iniquity of the Amorite at that point has reached its twofold cord. It reached that point. Okay, it reached the point of the sowing of the reaping. And so, this is what the Lord said to Abraham. Okay, I'm going to bring them again, okay, when the iniquity of the Amorites, okay, is full. Okay, and so the iniquity of the Amorite kingdom was full. And the Amorite kingdom, we're talking about the children of Ham, okay, and those of Canaan, which is cursed of God. Okay, why was he cursed of God? Because he denied stewardship. We see this in the book of Genesis. The denial of stewardship, a reproach was taken on Noah to where Japheth and Shem, okay, walked backwards to cover him, for Cain saw his shame. Okay, and this is what the false religious system does today. They view stewardship as shame. That is less than their aspiration. So therefore, they critique it, okay, for the purpose of undermining it, even as, you see, Balaam did to Moses. Okay, Balaam, the prophecy of Balaam was to undermine Moses, which God cursed. Okay, God cursed it. And this is what Balaam said. I cannot curse that which God has blessed. Okay, which again goes back to the book of Genesis. This is what Canaan did. Okay, well, Canaan, the son of Ham, did that to which God cursed, okay, his endeavor, that he will be in denial of stewardship. Okay, which we can see unfolded during the times of Abraham. When Abraham came into the land of Canaan, there was conflict. Okay, there was conflict to where he passed through to Egypt, where there was conflict of the children of Ham, to which God brought deliverance. Okay, brought deliverance upon the revelation regarding his wife Sarah. What Canaan, the son of Ham, did, okay, was to withhold seed of promise, okay, from that which God sanctified, and which had to do with Abraham. So God cursed the house of Pharaoh to where Pharaoh realized Abraham's presence, okay, was an affront to his kingdom, and therefore giving him gifts, he sent him away. The false religious system has that same mentality as the Pharisees did towards Jesus. They affronted his stewardship and undermined him. So here, this is what we're reading about right here. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, we talked about that last week, the whoremongers, as the Pharisees, they were trying to undermine him. Okay, and they succeeded to a point where the majority of Jesus' students decided to quit. So Jesus knew in himself, and they said this. Many, therefore, his disciples, when they heard this saying, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Now when Jesus knew in himself the disciples murmured at it, he said, does this offend you? That means, now do you stand in doubt because of their challenges for more proof of me and of my claims of the Messiah? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Do you need an open sign? Okay, that is in his Father's bosom. It is a spirit that quickens. So you can understand what he's talking about. It's a spirit that quickens. The anointing, okay, is a true witness. And this is the witness which the church, those in covenant today, have received. They have received the witness. They have seen the face of Jacob, the knowledge of God in the face of stewardship. And it's a spirit that now gives us life. It gives the soul life. When faith is present, the soul is full of light and life. Okay, so it's a spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. And what did Jesus say? The words that I speak unto you. I like the word words there. The knowledge that you hear at this point in time, he says, it is awaking you. And this is the true sign. This is the salt of the soul. And this is the fire charity, the anointing. Okay, and by this, the Father is now possessing your conscience. He's possessing your conscience. Okay, so they are life. So the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It's invisible and it's a power. It affects change. The Apostle Paul also calls it the effectual working. The anointing has an impact upon the soul that gives it life. It challenges. It challenges you to righteousness. Okay, it challenges your righteousness, and this is what you feel. You feel the challenge to righteousness, but you're not reverting back to the law to establish a self-worth. You're moving on. Okay, in other words, you're removing the gates of the barrier. And by this, I put an illustration there, okay, of Samson removing the gates of the city. They of the city already counseled among themselves, okay, that they would assassinate Samson the next day. Okay, but Samson rose up at midnight, okay, during a time of darkness, which has to do with the peak hour of their ignorance. Okay, the peak hour of the ignorance, the anointing was upon the steward, okay, to which he removed the barrier of their counsel. Okay, and the anointing removes the barrier of the counsel, and this is what Jesus is saying here. My knowledge and the words I speak unto you are moving the gates of this barrier, to which it will amaze the ignorant. It amazes the ignorant. How did it happen? So it's a spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Okay, we know Samson didn't remove the gates by the power of his own workout. He didn't work himself up to that point. He didn't go to the gym and start pumping iron to where he could get up to 500 pounds, maybe 1,000 pounds, and yet carry the gates of the city, which were thick oak wood, okay, and iron, which would be over 1,000 pounds. He took it off the hinges and walked off with it. Okay, that is profound. See what the anointing does? Okay, you see what the anointing does? And what was he doing in a city in the first place? As you can see, that the law condemned, but the Spirit gave life. The law condemned, but the Spirit gave life. Okay, so the Lord was giving this contrast, that all those which labor with the anointing are free from the law, are free from condemnation. Now let's go back to Ephesians 5. Okay, and we're going to jump over into another point here. The anointing fulfills the law by its own power. Okay, so what the law cannot do, we can see that the anointing provided. Now look what he says. Look at Paul, the Apostle Paul says here in verse 9. For the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Okay, this is what we're walking in, see? He says, for the fruit of the Spirit. Now we know, okay, that the virtues of this anointing gives us this perfect equity perspective. And we stand in an equity upon the scale of God, which is Jesus' holiness. The scale of God is Jesus. Okay, Jesus is that scale of holiness. Whatever doesn't measure up to his holiness is considered profane, an offense. It will not be accepted in the gates of his glory. And there's a lot of ministers today, ministers of unrighteousness, okay, which feel that which they feel within themselves, that passing from this dimension into the next dimension will be something that's favorable to their labor. And they're going to be greatly disappointed. There was a testimony of one, of a minister that went to hell. He died and went to hell. If you Google that about hell or a person dying, going to hell, I believe you could find it. There's many testimonies of that. I read and listened to some of these testimonies. So this pastor died, okay, went to hell. And while he was down there, he saw other ministers down there. Okay, he saw ministers down there. These were people that were claiming Jesus as Lord. Okay, but they weren't in covenant with God. Okay, and many ministers today still make those same claims of saying, okay, I love Jesus, I'm going to go to heaven. And the wicked and the ungodly pronounce over them, okay, upon their decease, okay, of how all the good works that they did, okay, all the ministries that they initiated, okay, all the crusades that they held, okay, all the churches that they built, okay, they're going to say, oh, he is worthy of the Lord. And the Lord says, I don't know them. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You were building with the wrong substance. Your hands were unclean. Okay, you were considered as a whoremonger. You didn't point the way, okay, for the purpose of building my kingdom. You pointed to yourself. So here we go back to verse 9. The fruit of the Spirit. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Hide the word goodness there. That means the true virtue and power carries this this taste, the taste of wine. That's why Jesus said, taste and see, the Lord is good. The anointing has the perfect flavor, fragrance, okay? Because it's compounded in its perfection, right from the hands of its creator, our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit, as we says here, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of law, because the fruit of law is condemnation. We read that in Romans 8:3. Okay, the fruit of the law is condemnation. Okay, those that use the law to measure their righteousness by have denied the true scale of Jesus Christ. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. In other words, again, the taste. The taste is the consistency of his temperament. It bears the consistency of his temperament. Okay, and this is what we see in Galatians 6. Galatians 5 and 6 talks about that. Okay, concerning goodness, meekness, and temperance. It bears the consistency of his temperament. Okay, in other words, he's addressing the habit of life. And through your cycles of growth, okay, you're continually progressing from little children, young men to fathers. You're progressing in your calling. Okay, you're progressing in your growth. Okay, you're increasing in knowledge. Okay, you're increasing in wisdom. Okay, in all spiritual understanding. This is what Paul brings out. That's the healthy church. That's the church that's free from the leprosy of false knowledge. So God put a sign when in COVID-19 concerning the covering of the mouth. He put a sign in that. Okay, and upon that sign, he emptied churches because they're unclean. He put a sign in that. Even back in 2011, with the sign of the exploding watermelons, okay, which took place in China. The exploding watermelons was a sign, okay, that God is going to release. Okay, he's going to release the captives of the false religious system. And he did. And he released the captives of the false religious system. Okay, all those that call upon him of a pure heart are released, okay, and adopted, okay, in his kingdom. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Make sure I highlight the word goodness there. We're talking about fruit and goodness. And by these things, we're able to measure and discern. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Okay, so we can see the consistency of his temperament is in his scale of faith, okay, which bears his mark, the mark of his character, his purpose, and his plan, in word and in deed. This is a scale that is being used for our justification. Okay, we're free from condemnation by the anointing. Okay, we are free from his wrath by the anointing, because the anointing stands with his mercy. And his mercy is where? It's in his tools, isn't it? Mercy is in his tools. So put your marker here and let's go to Romans chapter 8 for a second. Okay, just for a moment, we're going to go to Romans 8, or chapter 8, if you'll make a note on that in your notepad. Okay, and we're going to start here in verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak. How was it weak? It was weak through the flesh, which is a temporary covenant. Okay, which was only a shadow until God gave it substance to mirror himself. And came as an Adamite to remove the curse and restore innocence to the conscience, okay, in these waters. So for what the law cannot do, it cannot restore, okay, the purity of the conscience. Jesus had to do that himself. Okay, for what the law cannot do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, removing his power, the power of influence in the conscience. Okay, so now, your conscience being purified is holy and harmless and undefiled. holy, harmless, and undefiled. Harmless, which means it's not injurious. Okay, a whoremonger is injurious. A whoremonger is not holy. But here it says here, harmless. Okay, condemn sin in the flesh, rendering it harmless. Okay, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How is the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us? As it was in Jesus Christ. He fulfilled all the law and the prophets. Christ's holy innocence, okay, as our true standard, okay, the true standard of our innocence is restored to reflect His word and to be complete in Him, to be complete in harmony with Him. We're walking in cadence of faith and not in Moses. The anointing puts us in harmony, okay, with Christ. But the law put people in harmony with Moses, okay, which they couldn't keep in step with. It was a yoke which they couldn't keep in step with. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, which he's talking to Romans, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So the flesh has to do with the natural things, which springs of the soil. What springs of the soil? The minerals of the soil. The food. Okay, the food which the cattle eat springs from the soil. So we're talking about the tithing. We're talking about physical sacrifices. We're talking about physical circumcision. We're talking about physical communion, because we see that the harvest of the field springs from the soil, as well as also the grape of the vineyard springs from the soil, as well as also the mineral of gold and silver for the shekel springs from the soil. These are the works after the flesh. Okay, so he says here, we're justified, and now we're the righteousness law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The invisible tokens, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, the government, the truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, the invisible tokens, these gifts which sustain our faith and abound in us, okay, are, that is, for reward. These are the tokens which expand the soul, enlarge the heart. For they that are after the flesh, which means those that deny his fullness but desire to follow after the law of Moses, they'll focus on the moral code. They focus on the moral code. Okay, they're measuring their lifestyle by time, a Sabbath day, okay, and also the tokens of tithing, okay, or denial. Fasting is another one. They think fasting promotes righteousness. But of all the fasting that the false religious system did, okay, in 2018, 2019, 2020, okay, which was highly honored and was praiseworthy of their kingdom, fell short of God's glory. Mostly upon the past election, it fell short of God's glory. Okay, because the Lord's hand humiliated them. Okay, the false prophets, by the seducing spirit, which God ordained, by the way, okay, God put a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets of Baal. Okay, we see that in the Old Testament. And God did the same thing again. History repeated itself. Okay, in order to bring shame and defeat. Okay, and press upon their mind that they've been working with the wrong spirit all along. And rejecting the stewardship is evidence of that they were working with the wrong spirit all along. For they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, they struggle with a conscience of guilt and shame. Okay, in other words, they're weighing their iniquities. They're weighing their iniquities upon the scale. And therefore, they're absent of Christ's righteousness on the scale. They're using the wrong thing. Okay, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, which is the law of Moses. But they that are after the spirit, which is the tokens which Jesus spoke about there. My word I speak unto you is spirit and is life. The things of the spirit, okay, in other words, to mirror Christ are peace and our rest. We mirror Christ as our peace and our rest. For to be carnally minded, verse 6 here, to be carnally minded is death. See, the law works death. What does death do? It plunders. So what does the whoremonger do? He plunders the soul with a false gospel. Okay, the false gospel works with a seducing spirit. That's what Paul brings out. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, how could the Bible be doctrines of devils? So the Bible's not the doctrines of devils. It's those which interpret it. Okay, that create the doctrines of devils. Jesus quoted the Bible and it was sanctified. Satan quoted the Bible and it was unsanctified. That was a doctrine of a devil. For to be carnally minded is death. That means the unconverted resource themselves for this equity to find peace, and it works death. It works death in a conscience. Okay, and it also creates more faults. Okay, just like a grape. A grape without moisture turns into a raisin. Okay, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Might want to hide the word life and peace there. Okay, which means that it works this experience of this power, putting us in this new frame of mind, in our conscience. Okay, now let's go back to Ephesians. All right, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Hide the word proving there. So you see that your scale of discernment is. Your scale of discernment is the anointing. Okay, the anointing, which has to do with the voice of the Lord. Well, where is the voice of the Lord? It's not in heaven that you have to go up and get it. And it's neither in the earth that you have to search for it. Well, it's right here, Moses said. It's in your stewardship. The things that I'm speaking unto you. Okay, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, now you're walking as Christ walked. Okay, we're to walk as Jesus walked. That's what it means. And walk in love as Christ also loved us. How did Jesus walk? As the voice of the Lord. What is the voice of the Lord? Okay, where is his voice? Where's in the voice of the stewardship? Your sacrifices are the voice of the Lord. It's spirit and it's life. So your sharing of this knowledge gives the soul life. You feel the soul enlarging. When a soul is in the state of enlargement, you have peace. But when a soul is in a state of decay, you have chaos. You have depression. You have confusion. Okay, you begin to wander. Okay, to wander and to wonder. Okay, you're wondering, why am I in a state of condition and why am I wandering? And such is the state of the false religious system. And their newsletters, manifest that. It brings it right out. They, at one point, they're claiming to have remedy, and next point, they're revealing the condition of its lack. Okay, in other words, it's two-faced. Okay, it's two-faced, or what the Bible calls double-minded. Two-faced, double-minded. Okay, so here, by the foundation of truth, and by the spirit of this anointing, we're able to discern these things. What the anointing is birthing in us, we're able to discern, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, this fruit. Now again, Paul brings the contrast. Have no fellowship. Hide the word no fellowship. Okay. In other words, something that should be there is not there. Why can't you have fellowship with these people? Okay, it's not that the desire isn't there, but the substance isn't there. When the substance is absent, envy and strife is present. When the anointing is absent, conflict exists. Conflict exists. Okay, same thing we see took place between Moses and Korah. Okay, where conflict existed, where strife and envy were present, a crevice was produced. A big crack in the earth took place. Okay, and the earth collapsed underneath. Okay, the feet of Korah and Dathan and their whole house. They went down quick into the abyss. That shows. Where there's conflict and where there's envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. Okay, in the screams and the cries of the people, where the confusion, which the whoremonger, Korah, initiated. He initiated that judgment. No matter how sincere he was going to back down from his principle. He was going to move the foot of his principle. So God removed it for him. Okay, so it is a shame to you to speak of those things which are done in them secret. It's concealed when their conscience, is manifested. It's a shame. It's Satan's counsel, that's manifested from the dark conscience. Okay, so proving what is acceptable to the Lord in verse 10 there. So make sure you hide the word proving there. And he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, because their soul doesn't bear the testimony or witness of this virtue. So there's no connection concerning fellowship. Okay, of your true source, that's absent. So there's no fellowship, and he calls it unfruitful works. The activity doesn't profit you. The activity doesn't profit the soul. The soul is left in derision, double-mindedness, doubt, and then sedition always follows. These three always hang out together. Double-mindedness, doubt, and derision. Okay, or also sedition. Okay, they always hang out together. Okay, so the whoremonger, as Satan and his children, they sow knowledge to challenge your faith. Okay, because your faith is being built with the anointing, which is invisible. Okay, but they're looking for the physical. Okay, they said, give us proof. We want to see proof. Okay, when a person says, show me proof, they want to drag the anointing onto the scale of their logic. Okay, and when they draw on the scale of their logic, it won't fit. The scale of logic does not provide doesn't provide the basis there for that anointing. So these they are contrary one to another, as the flesh and the spirit are contrary to each other. So he says here, have no fellowship with them, with the unfruitful works of darkness, the preachers of unrighteousness. Okay, those which are always repenting, they're always struggling with the state of their conscience. Okay, so when it comes to a confrontation between the anointing and religious logic, there will be no compromise. Korah did not compromise with Moses. Moses did not compromise with Korah. Okay, there was a standoff. Okay, and there were relatives. They were the same family. Okay, they were Levites. Okay, and here we can see why would conflict arise after all these outward miracles? Korah's counsel was, Moses, you heard the voice of God, and so did we. Okay, you saw the pillar, we saw the pillar of fire. You saw the pillar of the cloud, we saw the pillar of cloud. You heard the voice of God, we heard the voice of God. What makes you better than we do? Well, for one thing, it was Moses that was called. Moses was called to fill that position. Korah wasn't. But Korah was assessing Moses' competency according to Korah's own principle and his own aspiration. Okay? And Korah tried to politicalize. He says, the people want to return to Egypt. You are really an incompetent leader, Moses. You're not listening to the voice of the people. No, Moses was listening to the voice of God. And this was God's plan. God's plan was to take him into the wilderness of challenge. But Korah wanted to simplify it. Says, we don't really need this. Okay, you promised us a promised land, and this isn't it. You lied to us. And evidently, that means to a proof of the eye would say that Korah was correct. Okay, but proof to the invisible was absent. Okay, Korah's logic, but proof of the invisible was evident to Moses. Okay, Moses said, I'm doing what God told me to do. Okay, and of course, you're disagreeable with it. Okay, and this is what God is going to reveal concerning your disapproval. Okay, and before Korah could change his mind, because he was already in the mindset, the earth opened up itself and swallowed him up. So we can see that there was no fellowship between Moses and Korah. There's no fellowship between Jesus and the logic of the Pharisees, because we can see that the Korah, as well as the Pharisees, as also Cain, and Balaam, were whoremongers. They were unclean. They were unclean in heart and unclean in practice. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And this is what we do on Facebook and Twitter. Okay, where we are challenging them. Take the step. Listen to his grace. Prepare your heart. Turn to him. Repent. Turning to him. Accept the conditions which our Father provided. Okay, why do you want to destroy yourself? Why do you want to deny life? Out of a principle. Okay, so in closing, we can see love. Again, we talked about it earlier at the beginning. Love as a point of belonging. Okay, it binds. And by the bonding, trust emerges. Contact works trust. So the Bible brings it out. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the anointing with all your heart. Bond and build with the Spirit. Bond and build with the invisible tokens. Bond and build with the government, the truth, the Spirit. Prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God. Build on this foundation and you'll have life. But the law works self-love. It reverts to the fear of loss. But we see in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear, because fear works torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18 brings that out. But the anointing builds the bridge. Okay, the divine love. Okay, divine love equals association of faith. That's why we're called beloved of the Lord. Okay, because we belong, we associate, we identify with, we have confidence in, and this is what we're building a bonding with. For the righteous identify with God by the anointing, to belong, the trust of belonging, confidence of building, and bonding of charity is this holy possession. So closing, to belong, which is a specified position, to be a member of, a token of ownership, and hands of care. So we are in hands of care. His hands of care. Okay, so the token Okay, the token of this charity is also a trademark of quality. The token of charity is a trademark of quality. In other words, we bear the trademark, okay, of the best. We bear the trademark of the best. So who is the best? Jesus Christ is the best.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.